This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Sandy Saunders, who is the head of the U.S. legal team for Mikhail Khodorkovsky. He's the former chairman of the energy company Yukos in Russia and is now the nation's most well-known political prisoner in the wake of a Chinese political prisoner winning the 2010 Nobel Peace Prize in absentia, of course, because he's imprisoned. This case, which has been cited by the likes of John McCain and others, is also worthy of attention. And Sandy, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
This case has been going on for a long time now. What is it that the Russian government has accused Mr. Khodorkovsky of in the beginning and now once again on new charges as his first prison term is about to expire?
Greg, thank you. The Russian government started, in essence, of accusing Mr. Khodorkovsky and Mr. Lebedev of causing Yukos to engage in tax evasion and to avoid paying taxes on all of the oil that Yukos sold. That became the basis for a tax audit that led to the bankruptcy of the company and the dismantling of the company so that its assets could be sold to state-controlled companies, which were actually operated by gentlemen very close to then-President Putin and others of power and influence within the Kremlin. And in conjunction with breaking up the company, as you point out, Mr. Khodorkovsky was criminally charged and given a sentence for 8 years. On the eve of Mr. Khodorkovsky becoming eligible for parole and release, the procuracy then went back and now, not satisfied with having kept Mr. Khodorkovsky in jail for approximately 6 years, four and a half years, announced new charges, charging him with having embezzled all of the oil that Yukos produced and then selling it and laundering the money for his personal benefit. This is inherently inconsistent with the first case where he was charged with the company having sold the oil but evaded the taxes. So in essence, if Mr. Khodorkovsky is convicted this time, it will undercut the massive tax case that the Russian government brought against Yukos as the basis for dismantling it, and the first conviction of Mr. Khodorkovsky. But the Russian legal system doesn't worry about those inconsistencies. In an effort to try to clean up the allegation, the Russian prosecution during closing changed their argument, and instead of saying Mr. Khodorkovsky was charged with embezzling all of the oil, dropped back and changed that to two-thirds of the oil produced by the company. In either case, it's absurd because the company could not have paid its bills, could not have paid dividends to shareholders, could not have made cash acquisitions, and operated at such a high level if the revenues from the sale of all of the oil were being funneled or siphoned off and out of the country.
We're talking with Sandy Saunders, the longtime head of the U.S. legal team for Mikhail Khodorkovsky, and you've just heard the very thumbnail sketch of this story. Obviously, you are saying and that he is claiming that he is not guilty of any of these charges. If that's the case, what do you believe is responsible for it? Is it the assault on capitalism that many believe is happening in Russia? Has he been outspoken in political criticism of Putin? We've certainly seen some of those voices been silenced in a variety of ways. What do you believe is behind this, if not accurate charges?
Oh, it's a combination of both of those things, Greg. It is both the fact that Mr. Khodorkovsky was acting as an independent businessman in Russia back in 2003, making decisions to operate Yukos that made the most business sense and were not necessarily ones that were blessed by the Kremlin, such as Mr. Khodorkovsky's desire to build a pipeline to Murmansk, which would facilitate the delivery of oil to the West, which was a project not favored by the Putin administration. And also, as you pointed out, it is flat-out greed. It was economic and political expedience to both silence Mr. Khodorkovsky and to take what was the crown jewel of the Russian economy, dismantle it, and redistribute it amongst a select few for personal benefit.
We just found out today that a verdict on this second round of charges, the embezzlement charges, has been postponed to the 27th, but it sounds from what you're saying that the system's basically rigged. Do you expect anything other than a guilty verdict?
No, I totally expect a guilty verdict. The delay of the reading and delivery of the verdict actually was something I expected, because the Russian government wants to bury this. They don't. They want to find the time where the least amount of attention can be focused upon the absurd verdict that will be handed down. You could tell from watching Judge Danilkin in court. I mean, the man's in agony. He knows. He's listening to the evidence, and he knows the evidence and the law contradict the verdict that he has to deliver. So from his standpoint and from the power, you know, a lot of the powers in Russia, the best thing that can happen is the world be asleep when this verdict is delivered.
It's worth noting here that when we say sent to prison, it's not just sent to prison, sent to a Siberian prison camp, which sounds like it's straight out of a Solzhenitsyn novel. What is his condition right now? What's his mindset right now?
Well, Mr. Khodorkovsky is amazingly resolute. This is a very he's a very focused man who believes that what he's doing is in the best interest of his country. He loves Russia. I met with him a couple weeks before he was arrested. He knew he was going to be arrested, and he didn't flee. He had been out of the country numerous times in the prior months and always returned. And his comment was, this is about the future of the country where my children will live. He has maintained that belief throughout. If anything, he's more committed to it than ever. And you know, he's not cutting corners in an effort to secure release. He is standing on his principles. He didn't do anything wrong, and he's not going to he's going to fight.
It's been noted by many that since Vladimir Putin became president and then prime minister, a more authoritarian kind of grip has taken hold of the country, yet at least from the outside looking in, it would appear that he's extremely popular. So how much has this case been impacting the Russian people? How much are they concerned about it?
From what I read, it appears that the case is becoming more and more relevant and coming more and more into the to the attention of the average Russian citizen. Remember, that part of the problem is there is not a free press or a uniform free press in Russia, as we have seen by various outspoken reporters have been silenced in the harshest way over the past few years by sacrificing their lives in a series of unsolved incidents. But more and more Russians are paying attention. There was a survey out the other day showing that a significant percentage of the Russian population believes that this is the second trial is nothing but a show trial. So the Russian government has pushed this so far that even average Russians are seeing the fact that it's absurd, and it really is the symbol and the ultimate reflection of the Putin regime that even President Medvedev, when he took office, spoke against the issue of legal nihilism and the idea of captured courts and the need to return to an adherence to the rule of law. Unfortunately, none of that's happened, and there's no way to believe it will as long as you see Mr. Khodorkovsky either on trial or in jail.
Last question. I mentioned in the beginning that Senator McCain, among others, have spoken out on the Khodorkovsky case. Is that putting any pressure from our administration on the Russian government or from anyone else to expedite this in a favorable way?
Well, I can't speak as to the administration in what they're doing, but Senator McCain and others, and there's been a rash of others who have spoken out, particularly in the last few days, from the U.S. government and various other governments in Europe. The importance is showing that the Khodorkovsky verdict matters, that it does reflect what's happening in Russia, and it bears on whether Russia is following the rule of law and whether its place in the world as a G8 nation. It's sort of preposterous that a G8 nation would be 154th out of 170 nations on Transparency International's corruption list, so that every time the Russian government hears it, for certain people, they know that they cannot get away with this without it impacting Russia, and hopefully at some point that will make enough of a difference.
Well, as you mentioned, it appears the Russians are trying to bury it. We're happy to shine what little light we have on this. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Anytime.
Sandy Saunders is the longtime head of the U.S. legal team for Mikhail Khodorkovsky, who is the former chairman of UCOS and now a political prisoner in a Siberian Russian prison camp. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.